So today's daf again is daf Samech Vav. So let's take it from the bottom of Samech Emre Beis. Let's take it from the Mishnah, the beginning of the Perek. The Mishnah begins, Mitzias Ha'isha Maisi Adel Baila. Anything that the wife finds, or any of her Maisi Adel, go to her husband. V'yushasa Hu Ochel Peros B'chaya. And anything that she may inherit from somewhere else, and a relative of hers, and she gets to own it, her husband's going to eat the fruits of that property, but she keeps the property itself while she's alive. Bechaya, the bosha b'kama shala, any bosha that she receives, somebody embarrasses her, somebody damages her, that's shala. She gets to keep it according to the Tanakhama and the Mishnah. Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseir Omer, he says no, it depends. Bizman shebeseser, in a situation where the makah, the nezek, took place b'makum seser, as we said yesterday, it was somewhere in the guf, a hidden place of the body which was not noticeable. So then, shnei chalakim, la shnei chalakim velo echad. She gets 2/3, he gets 1/3. Since it's hidden, he gets more. But bizman shebegali, if it's in a situation, a place like the face, where it's noticeable, then lo shnei chalakim, he gets 2/3, velo echad. She only gets one, because it's more public, and he's going to, that damage, that boshes, is going to go to him more. Shelo yinasim miyad, any part that he's supposed to get from this nezek and boshes goes to him right away. He gets the collection right away. But v'shela, any part that's going to her, yilakech bem karka, you have to buy a piece of property with it. V'hu ochel peros, and he gets to eat the fruit from that property while she owns, she has the title of the property. So that's the Mishnah. Different situations, what goes to her, what goes to him. There's, again, Mitzia, there's Maisia Deh, there's Yerusha, and there's boshes and Pagam. Gemara wants to know now, my kamashon, what's the chiddush of the Mishnah? Already know this because Tanina, the Mishnah elsewhere, tells us ha'av zaka bebito bikudusha bekesu b'shar b'bia. The father is zoch, and his daughter is allowed to marry her off to whomever he wants with kesu b'shar b'bia, and also he's zaka b'mitziyasa. Anything she finds, the father gets to keep. Uve ma'isya de, the father gets to keep. And also for faris nidareh, he has the rights. The father has the rights to be made for the nedarim. Then the Mishnah continues to say, Mekabas Gita, he accepts the get. Let's say she gets engaged at Be'erison, so the father still has some strings attached. He's allowed to be Mekabal the get for the daughter if she's a katana or if she's a nara. Ve'ino ochel peros b'chaya, but any property that she has, if she somehow gets property, the father has no rights to eat from the property. But Nisays, if she gets married, the husband, yes, I love Habala, Baal gets an added zechus, meaning shehu ochel peres b'chayeha. He also is able to eat any fruit from the property that she owns, and also bosho pagama, that goes to the husband as well. But that's all in addition to the husband being able to collect from the mitzi and maisideh, all these things. So
what is an example for, back to the father, v'en ochel peres b'chayeha, meaning everything that she has anyway belongs to him, so.
No, let's say she gets a Yerusha. So Yerusha goes to her. So what's the situation where she would get a Yerusha and that the father wouldn't? Let's see. Or it could be someone gave it to her, almanas, that the father has no rights over it. That could be an example, I think, also. Yeah, so Rashi points out earlier, the quotes in the bottom here, that she did get from her mother, she got a Yerusha from her mother's side. So now she gets the property, she gets the title. The father doesn't eat any of the fruits, but the husband does. So either way, we see from this Mishnah, all these zechuyos that are mentioned in our Mishnah Ksubas is mentioned in a Mishnah elsewhere. So why repeat it in two different Mishnayos? So Gemara explains, because it's tzirich le plugsa der Yehuda ben Beseir Rabbanim. We needed to repeat the Mishnah here in Ksubas to show the machlokas of Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbanim, which was not mentioned in the other Mishnah. Machlokas of Rabbi Yehuda Chachamim again.
I think it's a boshta of gamma, it's tzirich.
Ah, okay. Yeah, because I guess the Mishnah doesn't conclude that. You're right. So boshta of gamma, it's tzirich le Pluksa, the Behuda ben Besei Rabbanim. That category, Boshes and Pagam, which is mentioned in our Mishnah in the context of this Machlokas, the Behuda Rabbanim, that's what was needed to repeat this Mishnah, to teach this added Chiddush that was not mentioned in the other Mishnah. Okay, the Gemara now asks, or really quotes a Bryce of the two dots, two lines on the bottom, Tani Tana Kamedi Rabba. The Bryce was taught in front of Rabba as follows, Mitzias Ha'isha La'atzma. The mitzia, if a woman, a wife, finds a mitzia, she gets to keep it lasma to herself. But Rabbi Kiva Omer Labaila. Rabbi Kiva says, no, Rabbi Kiva must be the author of our Mishnah that says the husband gets to keep any of the mitzios that the wife may find. So the Gemara asks him, Amar Lehashta, wait a second, now, Mahadafa, if the surplus, the ma'aseh adah, any money that she makes in excess to what she owes the husband, remember we said that she owes the husband, what was it, 5 slaim? So anything she's made in excess to that 5 slaim, Amar Rabbi Kiva Latma, Rabbi Kiva says she gets to keep it. Mitziyasa l'kol shagain. So is it not obvious, Kavachomer, that she should, according to Rabbi Kiva, she should also be able to keep any of the mitzios, because that's also considered surplus to any of the ma'aseh adah that she does. So how could Rabbi Kiva here say that mitzia goes to the husband? Rabbi Kiva should be consistent and say she should be able to keep the mitzia, just like Rabbi Kiva holds she could keep the surplus, any excess she makes from ma'aseh adah. The Tanan, if you learn the Mishnah that appears in several places, but I think it's originally in Nedarim, konem shani osa l'ficha eino tzarach l'afa. We already saw this in the Mishnah Ksubis, I guess, that if he says that, Rashi explains, Masha niosa yehe konem l'ficha. If he, the husband, says anything that I do, my wife cannot get any hana from this. There's no need, the Tanakhama says, there's no need for a hafaras nadarim, because he's already meshubater. He owes her money. He can't do anything. He has no right to take his ma'isadeh and aser to her. He raised meshubater that I owe you this money. So there's no need for hafaras nadarim. Other way around?
She makes a nether.
She makes a nether, and he doesn't have to be made for it because it already belongs to him. So she has like no shaykhis to it.
Oh, so shani osa, it should be shani osa ye konam l'ficha.
Right.
So that anything I do that she says, anything I do is aser to the husband, that she has a right, because he's being made for her nadarm, right? So she makes a nether, so there's no need for a far sadarm because he already has control. He has full control of anything that she does, so she has no right to be making a nether on that.
Because it doesn't belong to him.
Right. But Rabbi Kiva argues and says, Rabbi Kiva Omer Yefer, no, he has to be made for if he wants to. He's supposed to be made for Shema Tadif Alav Yosim Naroi Lo. Because she might make some extra money, and he only has control over the baseline of the 5 slaim. He has no rights over the Odef, in which case the Odef, the Nedar, could be Chal on the Odef. So therefore, he should do a Faras Nedarim. But we see from here that Rabbi Kiva holds that the Mosar goes to her. So certainly the Mitzia should go to her as well. So the Gemara says, all right, very simple answer. Ela Ipach, let's switch around who said what. That, in other words, Mitzias Haisha Libaila. The first opinion of the Brisa we said earlier, now we're saying really the first opinion thinks that the mitziah of the wife goes to the husband. Rabbi Kiva Omer Latzma. Rabbi Kiva is consistent now and says, no, she gets to keep the mitzios, just like she keeps the mosar of Maisa Dek goes to her, so too the mitziah goes to her, and everything works out well.
Did we invert this before also or no?
I don't recall doing that.
No.
It's possible, but I don't remember.
Did we do what?
No, because this was, we saw this already before, I think, no?
Yeah, we saw this discussion. But I only brought this as a kasha. There's probably no need to switch it around until now. So the Gemara says, wait a second. For ha ki osa Rabin. Isn't it true when Rabin came, and Rabin came from Babel to Eretz Yisrael? He quoted from Rabbi Yochanan, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Behadofa shelo aide dechak kuyamalo pligi debal. Have. Everyone agrees that any excess that she makes that's not with difficulty, Rashi gives an example. You see, Shaloi de Adachak, first in our line down, Kigon Shahi Iranis Ubailas Malacha. What does Iranis mean?
Energetic, yeah.
So energetic, she's motivated, she's ambitious, she's working a lot, so that's her nature. It doesn't come hard for her, so she's a worker, she's a businesswoman, so something like that, that goes to the husband, because she's not overexerting herself, that's just who she is. So the husband has full rights of that. But Kipligi Badafa Shahi de Adachak, if she works really, really hard, She earned that. That's not who she is, but she pushed herself over the limit. Then that's the machlokas. Does she get to keep the hadafa because she worked harder on that? That's the machlokas. Again, keep pligi b'hadafa sh'ali de'ed chak, where she really pushed herself. She exerted herself, overexerted herself. Tanakama savar lebaila. The husband still gets to keep it, even though she really bent over backwards for it. The husband still gets to keep it. Rabbi Kiva sovar la'atzma. Rabbi Kiva thinks, no, she worked so hard for it. Let her keep it for herself. She earned this. So in light of this, so what's the kasha here? So Rashi explained, you see Rashi, ki asa rabin, this is 4 narrow lines down. Ukasaka daitach, the havamina here is, mitzi asa kadafa shloide dechaki, vehecha pligaba. when she finds something on the floor, it's no effort. It just came to her. She got lucky. It's no different than a person who's very naturally energetic and just she's a natural businesswoman. She makes money. And we just said, according to Rabin, and name Rabbi Yochanan, everybody agrees that any money that comes easily to her, everybody's going to agree, even Rabbi Kiva, that the husband gets to keep it. The metziah should be no different. Rabbi Kiva should agree that the husband should keep a metziah because it's considered hadafa shelo ayde dechak. So how can we ever say there's a machlokas about metziah? So Amar Rapapa, Rapapa answers as follows: metziyasa kadafa shayde dechak dami. Really, it's considered something that was brought about through a overexertion. And it's a pluk seder b'kiva rabbanan, and that's the machlokas. It's not considered easy come; it's considered difficult. Why?
There's no machlokas here. There's no machlokas. Because she, there's no Indian even. Because if alidat chak, there's an opinion that she should keep it or he could. If alidat chak, he would keep it, the husband.
Mm-hmm.
Why anybody will overdo anything? It's not his. Anyway, it doesn't go to him, so why anyone will go the extra mile?
Well, she might want to get something for her husband anyways. I think
in general, all this stuff is like, when a couple gets along well, whatever is his husband, it's also hers in a way.
Doesn't sound that he doesn't put his own
right,
book,
because
it doesn't sound
right,
that exact.
But in general, what happens is,
not everybody like you, Ricky.
I think most people are like me.
Maybe she'd rather work than be home with him.
Right.
Yeah, so work fine, but not al dchak. Don't kill yourself to get some extra line. I understand the word.
So look at this Rashi. Why finding a metziah is considered ayde dchak? See Rashi around six narrow lines down. Umeshani amra papa metziasa kadofa shayde dchakhi. That finding something is considered overexertion. Most findings one has to really seek and look hard for. It. If you find a dead, dry fish on the land, or a deer with a broken leg or something, or you finding sima blind, something hidden, a buried treasure. You're going around with one of those. Metal detector, so that you see the movies. You see it along the beach all the time. They look for things. They find buried treasures. They still really,
of course.
Really, you've seen this
all over America.
And you find things.
If you see people going,
and they finally they're successful.
I don't know, but a few years ago, you saw people doing it.
And what do they expect to find there?
People,
a car?
Not in the sea.
People could look at a watch or a ring or.
Wow.
People
in the beach.
Usually they do it in the beach.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. So these things, it's not considered, you don't just find something on the way, a $20 bill on the floor. It's where they're actually looking for something that someone lost to own it. And that's that machlokas between Rabbi Kiva and the Rabbanon. The Gemara now says, Bai Rapapa, Rapapa asked, Asasalo shtaim bibas achas mahu. Let's say she does two in one moment. What's the halacha? What does it mean two in one moment? So is that considered two jobs she had. Let's say she's doing two jobs at one time. So what's halacha? And furthermore, by Ravina took it a step further. Let's say shlosher odal bebas achas ma. Let's say she's doing three or four jobs at one time. Now let's see Rashi in a second, but does one time mean at like very same second? Or is she juggling three or four jobs throughout the day, throughout the week? So Rashi explains, Shtaim Shalosh Varba Babasacha. She's keeping two, three, four jobs at one time. Shomer's Kishum. She's a cucumber watcher. She's sitting at the gate in a little one of those little stalls or huts, and she's watching, make sure no one comes in. That doesn't require much effort, so she sits there. At the same time, she's being Tovei Pishon. She's sewing. She's weaving something while she's watching the yard, which she's able to do. She's multitasking. At the same time, she's able to sing a song to all the girls sitting there. She's singing, she's sewing, and she's watching the cucumber field. And she's holding up, she's warming up some eggs in her chest in order to have the eggs develop. Or the eggs of certain worms which were able to produce meshi is what, silk or something like that? Or something like that. And they're starting to, crack open and develop. I don't know how it works with worms and egg worms, but that's okay. Either way. So she's doing all these things. She's multitasking all at the same time. So what's the halacha? Rashi explains, Mahu mi havi kal yidei techak. Although she's really doing a lot at one time. Is that considered yidei techak? She's pushing herself. She's overexerting herself. Now for women, this is probably easy to multitask. For men, it's been very, very hard.
I think that the question is on all the melachos except for the what for one.
So the one.
One for sure, it's his. The question is all the additional ones if they're hers or not.
So I guess which one would it be? Which one goes to him?
Right. Anything goes to her. Meaning one for sure it's his. The second one, is it his or it hers? The third one, is it his or it hers? Right.
So the question one is for also, but which one would you give him though? Is it the most, the one that gets
more
paid the most?
I guess the first one has to, right.
And this also seems interesting. Why would this be considered overexerting? Like she's sitting down, it's not strenuous, at least physically. She's sitting down, but it could be mentally. It's a lot. Right. So for women, multitasking is very easy. For men, you know, it's hard for men to.
I think it's the other
way around. Usually they say women are much more capable.
No, I think men are much better at multitasking.
Yeah? What do you say, Harry?
I abstain.
I've always taught that women are.
I guess it depends on the man and the woman.
It does depend, but we'll Google later, I guess.
Yeah.
Should do you think who's more capable of multitasking?
Your wife is better multitasking. All right.
Okay, so the Gemara says it end up saying a teku. The teku, we don't have an answer to this. So Gemara says, Boshe become. Now we quote from the Mishnah that any Boshes or any Pagam, since that was Machlokas, how you split that up. The Tanakhama thought that she keeps it all, since it's her, she's receiving the pain and the embarrassment. And the Behuda felt that it was split up. How the split up works depends where the Nezek took place, whether it's Begali or Beseser. So Maskela Rava Bar Rav Chanan El Miata, that's the case. Bayish Susosel Shel Chavero. So, if a person embarrasses the horse of a friend, he should be required to give the owner of the horse the amount of boshes. Why, what's the elmata? What's the conclusion? How are we making such a jump? So, Rabbi Yehuda ben Maaseir says it's not fair. We're not chas v'shalom comparing women to horses. But why is it fair that the husband keeps any embarrassment that the wife receives? So, take it to the next level. Now, something that the husband really, really owned, like a sus. If someone embarrasses the sus, so are you going to pay the owner of the horse? Certainly not. And the Gemara asks, the sus barboshes? So the Gemara says, wait a second, a sus isn't even subject to embarrassment.
Right.
What kind of shaila is that? Ella, rokok bebigdel shel chavero hachanami debay the mason lay boshes. So let's say we're trying to think of a case where the owner should collect boshes even though he doesn't receive the actual boshes. So let's say you spin the guy's shirt. So it's not on the guy himself, it's the shirt. So should you have to pay him boshes for embarrassing his shirt? If you're going to say, yeah, you have to pay him because he's wearing the clothing, so it's actually embarrassment to him himself, the one who wears the clothing. Doesn't the Mishnah say, rokok v'gibo, harok, if you spit and the spit reaches him, upar rosh ha'isha, or you take off her shetel or a head covering from the wife, v'havir talisa memenu, or you rip off his clothing, chayiv li ten lo, arba meah zuz. You have to pay him the amount of 400 zuz for the embarrassment you caused him. Rapapa says, lo shanu ella bo, only if the spit or something touches him himself. Avaba bigda pater. But if it touches his clothing, then he's going to be pater for spitting on the clothing. So we see that if it's something that doesn't relate, it's not directly on him, he doesn't receive boshes. So too, if his wife gets embarrassed, there's no reason why he should collect on his wife being embarrassed. Just like when he gets spit on the clothing, there's no embarrassment to him because it's the clothing is not him himself. And the Gemara says there's a big distinction between the guy's him his clothing and the guy's wife. Why? The Gemara says, "Bibigdal les leis ilusa." If a guy spits on my shirt, it's not so much embarrassment to me, so therefore there's no boshes. But yishto, a person spits on my wife, a person embarrassed my wife, isla, that's very embarrassing to me. So yes, there's a difference. Even though it's not me myself who's being embarrassed, but it's my wife, that's still going to be zilusa, that's going to be traced back to me.
Yishto ke gufo dami.
Yeah, that's the basic idea. That's the basic idea, I agree. So the Gemara says, fine. Amar le ravin le ravashi. El miyat, if that's the case then. Bayish ani ben tovim de islu zilusa lechule ben mishpacha. So somebody embarrassed this, what's an Ani Ben Tovim? It's a well-known family, I guess. Family name, everyone well-known. Everyone knew it was a large family. So you embarrass one individual from the family, the whole family gets disgraced by this. It's the big Schwartz family. Everyone knows the Schwartzes, and you embarrass one of the Schwartzes, they all take that embarrassment. So you should have to pay each member of the family because they're all connected. So the Gemara says exactly what you had said, David. No, relatives, yes, we're related, we're family, but it's not the same thing as a person's wife, for Ishto Kagufo. So only Ishto Kagufo do we have to pay the husband for the embarrassment. The other relatives don't get any payment for someone else being embarrassed. Okay. Gemara says, a quote to the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, new Mishnah, Hapostek Maos Lechasno. Person has decided how much money he wants to give to his son-in-law. Umeis Chasno, and the son-in-law dies now. So the Yavam now, the brother-in-law who's going to step in the place and marry the widow, he's going to marry this guy's daughter, so he wants to continue on that same contract, has the same deal as his brother. So it says, Amru Chacham say, Yachal Hu, the father-in-law may say, Sheyomar Lachicha Isirotze Litein, V'locha Yesha Litein. I wanted to give your brother. You I don't like so much. I'm not, the same deal, the same contract is not going to be carried over. Then the Mishnah says, let's say, Paska Lahachnis Lo Elav Dinar. Let's say they make an agreement that she's going to bring into the marriage 1,000 dinar worth of something. So in turn, Posek Kenegdin Chamesh Yisrei Mana. He has to, in turn, the husband in the Ksuba has to write 15 mana.
I don't understand. What's going on? Well, the Abba understand. Okay, then the father doesn't want to give the Abba.
Correct. New case now.
Yeah.
Let's say she decides that she's going to bring us in the dunya, we've been speaking about it, into the marriage. She's going to bring 1,000 dinar into the marriage. 1,000 dinar is also equal to 10 mana.
Is it her own choice? Or is there
based father? On her father. What her father decides to give, that's what they're bringing into the marriage from their side. So she brings in 1,000 dinar, which we'll say is 10 mana. Same thing as 10 mana. A mana is 100. 10 times 100 is 1,000. So 10 mana she's bringing into this marriage. Ukineged, and with respect, corresponding to that, who posek kinegdon chamesh yisrei mana? In the ksuba, he has to pay her 50 mana. He owes her 50 mana, a third more, 50% more than what she wrote in what she bring in. And the reason being, Rashi explains, is because since she's bringing something that has the ability to make revach, to make additional funds and some return, so it could return as much as 50% more, he's going to have to owe her, in the event of a divorce or a death, 50% more, 50 mana, as opposed to the 10 mana that she brought in. This is Tosefet's Ksuba. Right, look at Rashi. See Rashi, who posts that Kenegan, a little higher up in Rashi? Who posts that Kenegan, Chamesh Yisrei Mana, Shilish Yosir, a third more, Yekablan Alav, Lichto B'Ksubasa, Livad, Tosefeshu Mosif. He has to add on an additional third into the Ksuba as a Tosefes. The Fisha Mistaker Bahen. He's going to make a lot of profit off this. She's giving him some money to invest, and he's going to make profit, so therefore he's going, by the end of the marriage, there should be a return, so his Ksuba, she should have the ability to pay her more. Okay, then the Mishnah says, let's say, Ukhneged Hashum Hu Posek Pachos. Chomesh. Let's say it's the money that she brings something in, and it's let's see Rashi. See Rashi, who connected Hashem, imbach chasam lichtov kabbalah love, connected elav dinar shalshum, she tachnis love begadim. Now she's bringing in not money, but she's bringing in property. She's bringing in objects like clothing, or kalim, hamishamshin behen vehein pochsin, or prakmatia. It's going to depreciate. A car depreciates. Everything depreciates. Most things depreciate. A lot of things depreciate. B'derech hanu'adim l'mizmotei chasan l'shumam yosem mishavyam l'chavod hakalal chava abayla. So when you assess the value of the something she's bringing in, look, and she's bringing this nice car worth $50,000, the appraisal is going to be a lot higher than it really actually is to make her a bit more chashiv and kavo than her actual value is. It's going to be over appraised because that's how they do things. It wasn't exact. It was above market value. So in turn, when he writes a ksuba, the Tosefet and ksuba, he could go down a fifth because seemingly the appraisers raised it 20% more than the actual value. That's what the Gemara is saying. If she's bringing property, she's bringing actual objects as in the dunya. Let's say, however, the Mishnah says, Shum bimana, v'shava mana. Let's say they had a exact assessment. The appraisal was a one mana, and it was actually worth, the market value was one mana. Everything was online. Ein lo ela mana. So then she only gives one, the ksuba only has to have one mana, corresponding to the actual value. Apparently we're not taking any depreciation into account here or any appreciation either. It's exact. If she brings in a mana, that's the market value of this. Let's say she brings in a set of pots worth of mana. So the ksuba is, and it's exactly a mana, and that's the assessment. So then he should write an additional mana in the ksuba towards that.
So the difference is what? That in this case they valued them?
They valued, in this case they valued them at the market value. They didn't over appraise them.
And in the first place, why would we say that? I mean,
in the first case is she comes in with a certain assessment and it was never tested in the value.
But I feel that the whole issue wasn't the valuation, was that they lose value with time.
Right. It seems that, Right, Rashi was saying that initially. Yeah, it seems to be a steer within Rashi. Is it because it depreciates, or is it because they overvalued it? It seems like the continuation of the mission, Rashi, and the continuation is going with that's been overvalued. So only if it was valued in the house of the Kala, do we assume it was overvalued?
Right. Meaning that
they exaggerate.
It's a little bit both. It's that they are usually when they do it in the houses in their own houses, they overvalue it, but in the shuk they don't.
Right, but I guess it seems like they're not taking into account the depreciation, even though Rashi had mentioned
that. It's a long note, but it says that there are two types of shum. One is that they expect to use it during the marriage, so that depreciates.
Uh-huh.
But then other stuff they expect to sell. So I guess that's like cash,
right?
Uh-huh.
So then they don't. He can't take off the value.
Uh-huh. Okay, so I guess the second case.
So
right.
Meaning that the expression that they're valued in the market is not only they're in the market, but they also intend to sell
they
it the way
sell,
they are.
Right.
Uh-huh.
Or it can so be something that is it will never depreciate. If
that they didn't say, but
uh-huh.
I assume there are such things
right.
also.
Though. Right. Okay. Fine. So that's the second case. So that's this case of where the market value is in line with the assessment, and therefore he only adds in the mana as what it was valued at. And then the Mishnah says, "He no senes shloshim ve'echad sela v'dinar." So she gives 31 sela and you're right. Shum b'mana. Let's say it was valued at a mana. Now, this is talking about a case where something that would depreciate or it was overvalued, let's say. Shum b'mana, v'hi no sena shloshim v'echad sela v'dinar. So she pays, she gives 31 sela v'dinar. So let's see. Rashi explains, this is the first Y line down. Shum b'mana, hi no sena shloshim v'echad sela v'dinar. Shum shi mekablo b'mana, she'amru lo kasuv mana b'ksuva, hi tachnis lecha shum shamana. We want to work backwards, let's say. So let's say it's really worth a mana. They wanted to put the over-assessment value at a higher price to make it look more covetic for her. So working backwards, it turns out to be 31 sela is a fifth
uh-huh, so,
more.
So this is just giving you how it works out.
Right. So if it was first valued at the market value mana, then you want to write what
meaning,
she's bringing in.
Right, meaning that for her to be able to have written in Exuba 100, she has to bring 125.
No, all the way around. If he's getting a mana of value, she should write 125 in the Exuba.
Right.
Okay,
yeah,
fine.
Yeah.
So, or let's say Ubar Arba Meos. Let's say it's worth 400 that she should actually bring in. So then Hino Senes, Chamisha Meos, and then she write 500. That's
right.
What should be written in that she's giving, even though it's really 400. Masha Chasson, Posek, who posek parchas chomesh, and whatever the chassan is going to be, his agreement inside of the agreement in the ksuba will always be a fifth less. There's a lot of repetition here. The Gemara is going to address it briefly. So we had like four different ways how to get out this value of fifth.
Even though we don't have much Gemara,
right? So the Gemara says Tanur Rabbanan. The Braisa says Ein Tzarech Lomar Rishon. So in the situation, the first half of the Mishnah, where the son-in-law died without any children, so the brother-in-law was going to step into the place and marry the daughter. So the father-in-law said, I don't know who you are. I married my daughter off to somebody else, not you, even though you're the brother. So Ein Tzarech Lomar Rishon Tamar Chacham V'Sheni Amar. It's needless to say, if the first son who had passed away, this first son-in-law passed away, was Tamar Chacham, and the brother's Amar, it certainly is Pashut, he has no obligation to pass over the same contract. Even if the second brother is a greater Talmud Chacham than the first one, which one would seemingly, I would love for you to marry my daughter, still, nonetheless, Yachal Omer Lecha, the father-in-law could still say, La'chicha isi rotza liten lucha yesha liten. I wanted to give your brother, I have no liking to you, I don't have the same contract with you.
We learned that they have to have chalitza after Erusin, or no? We said, what was
that? Yeah, even after Erusin, there's chalitza.
Right, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, then the Gemara says, Paskal Hachnisal Elef Dinar, quoting from the rest of the Mishnah, all the different details of how to do the evaluations, Hainu Reisha. So the Mishnah is very repetitive. Why repeat all, why the Seif is the same thing as the Reisha? So the Gemara says that Hainu Reisha Tana Shuma Rabba Vakatani Shuma Zuta. They taught a certain situation where the value was a very large amount. It was a car that she brought in, and a Tana Zuta, and a Shuma Zuta, a smaller one, which was a little pot, let's say. Tana Shuma Didei, Tana Shuma Didei, the Tida. They taught an assessment where he, the husband, made the assessment. We taught a situation where she, the Kala, had made the assessment. There is need to teach all four scenarios. Why? So Rashi explains one by one. Rashi says, Tana, that's the Katani Shuma Zuta. Let's read that, Rashi. The last narrow line, four lines from the top. Shum b'mana hino sena shloshim ve'achat tzela v'dinar. A small amount is one mana, as opposed to the first case was 1,000, was much more, or 10 mana, or 1,000 dinar. De lo tema, one shouldn't say, Shuma Rabbahu de derech hashemayim lahaloso al shavya. So one would say, maybe only large, you know, a person bringing a car, then they're going to exaggerate the prices a little bit, the assessment, because it's a large price, but no one's going to over-assess the value of a pot. So maybe only by the case of Shuma Rabbah are we concerned that there's a difference you have to add on to a lesson, a pachas mechomish, but maybe by a small pot it wouldn't be a need. Inami, alternatively, Shuma Zuta Ika Demali Le Tfei Shalo Tispasa Bein Be'e No Adem, or maybe the other way around. To bring in a pot worth 30 cents, that's disgraceful, so they're going to inflate the price to $10, even though it's not. But by a car, they could do the actual value, because the car itself is $20,000, no need to inflate the assessment. So either way you say it, there's a need to teach both Shuma Zuta and Shuma Rabba that you should always assume a fifth less than the actual assessment coming from her house. And also Rashi explains Shuma Didav is Katani Shuma Didei. We can skip that Rashi, just tells you the different scenarios. But go to the next Rashi, Shuma Dida, her assessment. If he writes a ksuba first, Shiba Shum, that the value came in, now afterwards, she and her relatives make their own assessment. So there's different scenarios, whether he does the assessment first or she does the assessment first. If she does the assessment first, we assume it was inflated, so then we could make him give a fifth less in the ksuba. If he writes a ksuba first, so we assume he did an actual market value assessment, so when she writes her side, she could inflate it a fifth. And that's the different scenarios that the Mishnah is referring to. Okay, the Mishnah now says, the next Mishnah teaches us that Paskal lahachnis lo ksafim, so let's say she decides, I'm going to bring in some cash into this marriage and some money to do some investments with. So sala nasa shisha dinar. So a sala, which is typically a four dinar, I think.
Arba dinar.
Right? So then you would have to write shisha dinar, you have to, you know, double it. Not you have to take a 50% more, a third more, and make it the ksuba 6 dinar. Hachasan mekabel, that's point one. Point two. Hachasan mekabel lava asar dinarim lekupa. Now, each mana that she brings into this marriage, the chasan has to set aside 10 dinar per mana to place in the kupa. We'll see what the kupa means, but if she gives him 10 mana for the nudunya, he has to set aside 100 dinar.
So now we're talking about different things.
Exactly, something completely different. again, related to what she brings to the marriage and what his responsibilities are, but now there's a different point. For every mana.
So the second part, Hatam Mikabel Alav Asara Dinarim Lekupa. What's this case?
The Gemara is going to explain what that means exactly, but for every mana that she brings in the dunya, he has to set aside 10 pennies, let's say, and put in a special box for something. We'll see what the need for that box is.
Okay.
And Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, Omer HaKol Kaminag HaMedina, there's no set price of how much she sets aside per mana. Each minag has her own customs. You have to keep to that custom of where you live. So the Gemara says, the first case, the Mishnah, where if she brings in 4 dinar, he has to write 6 dinar in the Ksuba, Hainu Posa Kinegdem, Chamisha Asar Mana. That's what we learned in the first Mishnah just before. So the Gemara answers, Tana Iska Rabba, Tana Iska Zuta.
Yeah. It's not like that.
Why?
If she brings 4, that's not a fifth more, it's much more.
It's 50%.
You know, it's 50%. It's a third or 50%, depending on how you do it. It's the same.
It's a third.
It's a third.
It's a third millibar.
Exactly.
But we learned that it's a fifth millibar.
No, we said that's in terms of two different points.
That's
if she brings
valuation.
Of a chavitz.
Yeah.
The beginning of the Mishnah taught us if she brought money and if she brought 1,000 dinar in.
We learned in the previous Mishnah?
Yeah, the first line of the Mishnah, 1,000 dinar, he has to write 15 mana, 1,500 dinar.
Oh, that's right. Okay.
But now we're talking about she brings in only 4 dinar, a very small amount of money. So then he writes 6 dinar.
Right.
So Gemara's Hainu Posa Kinegdem. That's the same ratio we learned in the first Mishnah, the earlier Mishnah. So the Gemara answers, no, Tana Iska Rabba, Tana Iska Zuta. They taught, the first Mishnah was talking about a large sum of money she brought in, 1,000 dinar, and now we're talking about a very small 4 dinar, a very small amount of money. The Tzricha, you need both cases. D Tana Iska Rabba, if we only taught the first Mishnah where there's a large sum of money that she's bringing in, a large investment, the Nafesh Ravcha, where it's going to potentially produce a lot more money invest, the more money there's going to be returned. So there you needed to say that he has to add on a third more. Aval iska zuta de zuta ravcha, but you put in 4 pennies, you're going to get back 2 pennies, and not much to add on. Maybe he doesn't have to adjust the ksuba accordingly. Emelo. And that's why we have to learn the second Mishnah that even by iska zuta, even a small amount of money, he has to add on 50% to the ksuba. Viashmeinan iska zuta, if you taught only this case of the small amount, the zuta ziyana, it's very easy to make money off of 4 cents. It jumps very quickly. Aval, it's like penny stocks. Aval iska zuta, aval iska rabba, denafizina, ema lo. But when it comes to a lot of money, to find a good investment to place $1,000 in to make a nice return, that's not very easy to come by. So then maybe there he shouldn't have to write in the ksuba anything because there's not a guarantee he'll actually make money off of it. Tzricha, we learned in the first mission that even by an iska rabba, one needs to add onto the ksuba 50% more. Now the Gemara is going to discuss what this whole kupa business was. We said in the Mishnah that each money that she gives him, he needs to set aside 10 dinarim per mana and place it in the kupa. My kupa, asks the Gemara. Amar Vashi, kupa shel besamim, a box of besamim of spices. So Rashi explains, Gemara is going to explain all this also, but we'll just read the Rashi anyways. Rashi la kupa. He says, Begamar refari sheyitin la asar zuze lechol manu mana. That we're taught in the Mishnah that for every mana he gives 10 zuz, shehi mevi'alo, every mana that she brings him, and he gives her 10 zuz, it's so funny, just like back and forth, like they're paying each other money. Why don't you just keep your money and keep my money and just do whatever you want?
But I'm saying she's bringing 10 mana, 10, she's bringing, let's say, 10 manas.
So he gives her 100 zuz.
Additional to the 150.
Yeah.
So he has to give her 160.
Well,
150 and 10, and no, 10 to the kupa.
Well, no, 150 is written in the ksuba that he owes her.
Right.
But now, and for immediate use, he gives another 10 or 100, whatever the dinar, whatever the money.
That's a bad deal.
As a
because it's coming out from the beginning. It's
exactly.
Pre-tax money.
Exactly. It's pre-tax money. Exactly. But it's also saying, but she gives him a 1,000 dinar. So just, she really gives 990 dinar because she ends up, that money goes back to her. So the reason for this, Rashi explains, is because each of those 10 zuz that he gives her, it goes into this box. She uses to buy spices, to buy perfume, to buy shampoo, all these things to wash in. This is what the Chum said, that that's what it says.
A man is how many zuz?
I don't remember. I always forget.
Zuz is
10.
Asara zuz is
10%
of a man, or is 1%, like you said? Or 1%.
I'm not sure. Did it say there? The
no.
Okay. We should know this actually. Let's see. Right? One dinar is one zuz. A zuz is a dinar. So a dinar, we learned before that 10 mana is equal 1,000 dinar. So yeah, so one mana is 100 dinar. So it's 1%.
1%.
1%, yeah. That makes sense. So, okay, the Gemara says, so the reason why is we have the kupa is for the kupa shebesamim. Amar v'ashi, lo namru dvarim halalo el b'yushalayim. This is only true in Yerushalayim that they had such a custom. So you look at Tosos, those you remember from the Gemara in Yuma, Tosos writes, Dibar maskal lo namru dvarim halalo el b'yushalayim. You only have to set aside this 1% amount in Yerushalayim for the wife. V'hodar mina b'perek tapia kalpi, one of the prokem in Yuma says, shelo ha'yisa kalat tzrich l'ispasim b'yushalayim b'pnei re'acha ketores. So women didn't have to perfume themselves because they were so next to the base of Migdash, they're close, so close to it, they were already being perfumed from the Ketores. So vade l'reach l'hayitzrichas l'izbasim v'altzrichas l'ilakupa shebasam l'adin habasar u'l'hasir seya l'ufashi dekamatim. You're right, it wasn't for the smell, it was to make the skin nice and to remove hair, it was for other ways of taking care of the skin. That was the need for this, but not for the smelling part of the basamim. Then the Gemara says, Bar Ravashi, Ravashi asks, B'mana ha'nisham or b'mana ha'miskabel? So which money are we talking about? Are we talking about the over-assessed value that she brought in, the inflated value, or the actual value? What he actually receives, or the actual assessment was? That's the shot. And per mana of that, you have to give 10 zuz. So imtim sulamar mana hamiskaba, if you're going to suggest it goes based on what he actually receives, actual market value, yom rishon or kol yom v'yom. Does this mean, is that one day or for every single day? What do you mean, Yom Rishon here?
Yom Rishon Shulam Nisuin, meaning the first marriage day only.
Just one day, or every single day requires to give her 10 zuz per month. Vim Tim Silmer Kol Yom V'yom, each day she requires that amount to for the Besamim. Is this talking about Shabbos Rishon or Kol Shabbos to Shabbos, just for the first week, or every single week of their marriage? Vim Tim Silmer Kol Shabbos to Shabbos, he has to give her this. Chodesh Rishon, is that the first month? Oh, Kol Chodesh or Chodesh. Is it every single month also? Oh, imtim tzlar kol chodesh chodesh shana rishona or kol shana rishona teiku. Is this every the shana rishona or is it the entire marriage? Right.
Now I guess it's hamotz mechaber la varaya, so he would only have to give her one day, or is bechol oz kemina gamarkom for.
Right, probably mina gamarkom. Says the Gemara, Amar Yehuda, Amar Rav, Ma'isa bebito shenakdimun ben Gurion. We already saw him the other day. Was it yesterday? Shenakdimun ben Gurion us. So the daughter of Nakdimun ben Gurion, Nakdimun was a very big gvir. So they had designated for her, the daughter of Nakdimon, 400 zuz for the box, the Bobayom, for that day. And Rashi says, Letzorch Yom Echad, for just one day alone, that was what they had designated for her. Amr Lehem, so she says to them, Kach Tivsekul of Nosechem, Vanu Acharei Amen. She said, this is what you should give all the daughters. Yesterday we saw this as a curse, here we're saying it as a bracha, and here the Chacham responded, Amen, we should be zocha to give, to grant all the Benos Yisrael such money to buy the Besamim. Gemara now records the story. Tana Rabbanon, Maisa Rabban Yochanan ben Zakkai, Shei Rochev Al Chamar. He was once riding on a donkey, Vaya Yotzim Yushalayim. He was leaving the gates of Yushalayim, the Hayu Tamid of Mahalchan Acharav. His students were following him on by foot, probably. She saw a certain woman, a lady, who was busy collecting barley within the excrement of the animals owned by Arabs. So the moment she served Yochanan Zakkai on the donkey, she quickly stood up and she covered herself in sarah, and her hair, I guess, covered herself. Vam Delfano stood in front of him. Amulo, she says, Rebbe, Parni Seni, please feed me. I need something to eat. Look what I'm doing. I'm picking the barley between the animal dung here. So Amr La Biti, so Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai is my daughter. Miat, who are you? Tell me your name. So Amr La, so she says, Rebbe, Bas Nakdimon Ben Gurionani. I'm the daughter of Nakdimon Ben Gurion, the wealthy Gvir. I am her. So Amr La Biti, Mamoncha Besavicha Heichan Halach. Your father was so wealthy. What happened to all that money? Amr La, so she says to him, Rebbe, Lo Kedin Maslin Masla Bishlaim. Do they not tell Muslim Lashon of a Mashal, such a tough Nashin, the Mashal? Do they not tell you the following Mashal Bishlaim Melech Mamun Chaser, that the salt for money, even though salt normally used to preserve food, it doesn't protect money. Amulei Chesed, And others say lashon chesed. And the idea that she's trying to say over here is that the only way to protect money is by doing chesed, by doing tzedakah. Apparently, Nachum ben Gurion didn't do tzedakah, didn't do any chesed. He lost all their money. So, shabes chamecha heichan. What about your father? Apparently, your father-in-law wasn't too bad off himself either. So, doesn't he have money to support you? Amrullah, she says, bozev ibadzeh. This one came and lost that one. Since they'd made this partnership, this marriage, so the averos of Nachum Dimon Ben Gurion affected even her father-in-law's money as well. So she was really depleted of all funds from both sides. So Amrilo Rebbe Zachar Atam Kishachasamta Ksubasi. Do you remember when you signed my ksuba? Apparently, he was one of the 8-day ksuba. Amrilahen Litamidav. He turns around to his students and says, Zacharni Kishachamti Chasamti Ksuba. I remember. He doesn't tell her, but he tells his students, I remember. Shazu, I remember when I wrote her or signed on her ksuba. Vayisi korban, I read, Elef alafim dinar zav mi beis aviyah, chus mishel chameh. So that she was zocha to 1,000 of 1,000. What's that? A million gold coins from the house of her father. He was so wealthy, aside from what she'd be receiving from her father-in-law's house. I remember all this. So Bachar Yochum and Zaki started to cry, but look how much happened in however many years it was. All the funds were lost. No one's money is ever protected unless they're giving tzedakah. So Amar Ashreichem Yisrael, so he says, with his responses, praiseworthy is Yisrael, Bezman She'osin Ritzon Shemakam. When they're following the commands of Hashem, they're doing tzedakah, so then Ein Kol Umma V'Loshin Shaletes Bem. No one's able to touch them, they're untouchable. U'Bezman She'osin Ritzon Shemakam, when they're not doing the proper thing, when they're not giving tzedakah, then Ein Kaluma, rather than Mosin Biyad Uma Shefela, they're being handed over to a very lowly, humble nation. V'lo Biyad Uma Shefela, El Biyad Behemtum Shel Uma Shefela. Not only that, but even to the animals of such an Uma Shefela. That this woman, who came from such a Chacha family, is now picking out barley between the excrement of a donkey, right, of the lowest of animals, of the lowest of nations, of the Arabs. So this is what the Gemara concludes with this Maisa. The Gemara ends up asking, is it really true that Nachum ben Gurion never gave tzedakah? And Gemara goes on to say,
we can go on, yeah. Just a few lines
more. Okay, so the Gemara says, Nachum ben Gurion lo avid tzedakah. He didn't give tzedakah. Hatani, the Brisa tells us, Amru Allah al Nachum ben Gurion, kasha yotzim ibeisa le beis medrash, when he walked from his house to the beis medrash, kli milas hayu matzian tachtav, they would place a certain type of chashiv beged underneath him. And Uban Anian Makaplan also Meachorov, and the Anian would follow him and kind of double it or fold it over from behind him. So it sounds like from him that he was that Anian would be getting tzedakah. So the Gemara says Ibai Samuel Chvodahu David. Some say that he was just doing this out of kavod. He wasn't doing this l'shum mitzvah, the shema. He was doing it because he wanted the kavod of all the Anian following him and showing this proper respect. He didn't do what he should have been doing. Meaning, he was giving tzedakah, you're right, but he could have done even more. He was so wealthy. According to your camel, that's what shichna mean here? That's how much he's going to hold. Depending how strong your camel is, that's how much you're going to hold. So yeah, giving a lot of money is good, but if you're capable of doing more, then you have to do more than that. Okay, all right, so we'll stop here then. Shkoyach, everyone have a good yontif.